everybody. Welcome back to the Orange Kids Podcast, the podcast where we take the big ideas of kids ministry and we discuss practical solutions to your weekly challenges. My name is Mike, and as always, I am joined by Gina.
How are we doing?
Gina McClain's in the house. And Kellen Moore.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Kellen. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great. Well, listen, guys, today's podcast is a special podcast because we normally come to you live from just north of Atlanta from the Orange Kids offices. But today we are in Duluth, Georgia. We are at the Infinite Energy Center for Orange Conference 2019, and we are huddled together in a, what would you call this, a private suite or a...
It's
or the closet. I can't.
It feels like a closet.
It's very narrow with a kitchen.
It feels it's a big closet. So we're here, and it has a like a little bar sink over there. So
with nothing in it.
There is nothing in there.
Sorely disappointing.
What good is a wet bar if there's nothing in there?
Thank you very
and you're
going
to throw people in there. Anyway, so we are live from Orange Conference, and while we are here, we wanted to record a bunch of episodes with some of the breakout speakers who are coming through. We've got a bunch of friends from all over the country who have come to share their wisdom with us this week. And on this episode, we are going to talk about how to be healthy as a kids leader. Mm-hmm. I know we kind of touched on this a little bit way back, I think with our first episode with Shannon Scott, where she talked about some of those things. But I got to tell you, friends, like over the last course of the 6 to 12 months, I have personally known people in ministry who are no longer in ministry due to reasons that have to deal with burnout, with depression, with decisions made during those times that have led them to not be in ministry anymore. And they have not just lost their ministry, they have lost their families, they have lost their marriages. Yeah. And I even know one individual who lost their life. And the burnout rate in ministry, especially in kids ministry, is such a huge deal that we felt like with this year's theme, it is called It's Personal. And we knew right away at Orange, our teams, that we wanted to talk about this, because if we personally are not healthy as leaders, whether you serve in student ministry or particularly in kids ministry, if you're not healthy, then you are not going to be able to live out and do what God has called you to do for the long haul, right? And so we talk about that. So we brought in one of our friends. We're thrilled to welcome to not just Orange Conference, but also to the podcast, Ryan Frank. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Mike, what's up?
Hey, man, we are so glad you are here. Thank you for joining us. And if you don't know Ryan, you probably do, but if you don't know Ryan, Ryan is the CEO of Kids Matter, and they publish a magazine. They also, man, they do all sorts of things for the Kidmen community. They have a Kidmen Academy. They put on a Kidmen MegaCon conference every year. They have a Facebook community where they help serve like 20-some thousand Kidmen leaders and pastors out there. So thanks for what you do
for
the Kidmen community, and thanks for being on here. So
first time on the OK podcast.
First time listener. First time guest.
Yes.
First, I didn't know you guys existed, but I'm here.
We are here.
Well, we hide, clearly.
That's right.
We hide in a room.
We like to record our podcast in closets with a wet bar that's empty.
With nothing in
them.
With
an empty wet bar.
But we're not bitter. It's fine.
So, Ryan, we just finished up a session, you and I, where we talked about this. And Kerry Newhoff wrote a book called Didn't See It Coming. And it's a great book that deals with some of the things that trips up every leader, whether you are a senior pastor, a kids pastor, student pastor, every leader in ministry. And he gives some warning signs for those. And in one of those chapters particularly, he talked about this idea of burnout. And that's where we wanted to focus this episode on particularly. And one of the things we want to talk about is there's symptoms to look out for burnout. And then there are things that we can do to help walk out on the other side of burnout. So we're going to talk about those. But as we kind of set this thing up today, in his book, he talked about, which I thought was true of every leader, okay? We deal with two issues in every Kidmen leader out there right now. We deal with the pace of ministry, right? And then we deal with the weight of ministry.
Yes.
And there is the pace in that's your Sunday to Sunday. That's the events you're doing in between. That's your day to day. That's your week to week. That's your month to month schedule that you're doing. And you can control your pace to some degree.
Yeah.
Some of that you can't control, but you can control your pace when you take a day off, when you turn off your phone, when you maybe cancel a meeting to give yourself back some margin, or you go take your vacation, you can control your pace. But then there's the weight of ministry. And no matter what rest or relief that you get, it's like that weight, the responsibility that God has given you with the kids and the leaders and the volunteers in your ministry, that never really goes away. You manage it, but when you're on vacation or you're on a day off, you can't help but think about it. It's always there. And so we're always managing this weight and we're managing this pace. But then there are two, what I would call the enemies of this whole thing of the burnout story. It's pride and it's fear.
Oh, gosh, it's
right?
so true. Yeah,
because
so
pride
true.
Would convince you that, you know what, your unhealthy pace of ministry and the weight of it is fine.
Yeah.
You got it. Just for one more season, you know, like to do that. And then every kid band leader out there comes to a point in their ministry career where they have to acknowledge that I can't do this all on my own, right?
Yeah.
And then fear kicks in and fear says, you can't tell anybody that. Because if you tell somebody that, then it's going to change
gone.
The way
you're
they
out.
Look at it. You're gone, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So anyways, those two things pop up. And so we want to talk about managing all those things. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about the symptoms to look out for when it comes to those things.
Yep.
And talk about what are some things that we can do. So, Ryan, one of the things that we talked about, which is a huge one, when it comes to a symptom of when you know burnout is coming or maybe you're in the midst of burnout, is that your passion begins to fade. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast to talk about this, because I don't know, I don't feel like there's any other area of ministry that is so important yet so neglected as our personal health. It's like we spend so much time looking at different metrics and attendance and frequency of attendance and programs and scheduling and filling slots and planning center and all of these things, and we neglect looking inside of our own lives.
Yeah.
And how am I doing? And Mike, when we were just teaching hundreds of people in that room, I mean, this message resonated. They were nodding their heads because this is real life. Y'all are in children's ministry, probably listening to this podcast. The turnover in children's ministry is crazy how quick and various reasons, but it is a lot of times due to burnout. I just don't feel like I've got what it takes. And there are some signs, some red flags that can show you that you're headed to burnout. One of them is what you just said, Mike,
that
is your passion fades.
Yeah.
Your passion fades. Now, here's the deal. Everybody struggles with passion from time to time. But when you are consistently losing your passion and you're like, man, it's just isn't as fun as it was. It's not as exciting.
Yeah.
The joy's gone. Good sign that you're not in a healthy place.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is what? How do you know? What does that even look like when your passion fades?
Because your passion, you go through seasons, we all do,
sure,
where
yeah,
it's
really,
like,
yeah.
I'm really passionate about this, then I'm not so passionate.
Yeah.
So it can be a roller coaster, but I think when you're just emotionally not excited, or
is it a numbness? Or
yeah,
is it
it's like beyond the like and don't like, because we all have the, I don't like this about my job, or I like this, or I don't like this. I think it's a beyond that, where it's like, I don't want to go in.
Yeah.
I don't care
oh,
if Sunday happens.
Good. I don't want to go in. I think that's I've had those weeks, because I know that I've gone through seasons of where I was really on the verge of burnout, and that I identify with that.
Yeah.
Those Sunday mornings where it's like, I'd rather just stay in my bed.
Yeah. And Carrie talks about that in the book. It's just that lack of motivation.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
like that. I just don't have the motivation, the drive to do it like I used to do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
And
okay.
No.
Yeah,
that's
one. You want to hit number two, Mike?
Yeah. All right. So the second thing, as far as a symptom of burnout, is that you no longer have the highs and the lows. And this goes back to just a little bit what you touched on as far as that numbness, because when you're healthy, you feel things,
right?
You feel the good, and you
and
feel the
bad.
Yeah. And we were created to celebrate with people when they are celebrating, and we were created to mourn with people when they mourn. But when you begin to feel nothing, then I think that's a sign, right? Would you agree with that, Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
As far as that, like, I mean, So, like, have you ever found yourself like? I mean, as far as like, I'm an emotional person, so I get up high and I go down low, and it's in those low moments where I can maybe mistaken to say, well, maybe is this a sign of burnout because I'm so low, but it's because I'm just emotional in that way, and I don't know.
I think the passion fading, going to no longer seeing the highs and lows, I think that's where the numbness comes in, where when you walk in, you're like, what's the last thing you can celebrate? Well, I don't know. What's the last big accomplishment your ministry made? I don't know. And then vice versa to, well, what are you kind of disappointed about? I don't know. I think it's that numbness. I think the word that you trickles into this one as well.
I would agree. And again, you know, walking through that myself through some seasons there, it's amazing how when you start to recognize that, just somebody pointing it out, right, is eye-opening to some degree, because you don't notice it. I think the title of the book is amazing, Didn't See It Coming.
Yeah.
Because
it's
a slow fade.
Yeah.
Towards that numbness. It's almost like you're, you know, something happens to somebody else that would normally really bring out an emotional response out of you, and you find yourself just kind of emotionally numb.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, I have no response to that whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's not to be confused with personality traits. So, like, you guys know me. I'm very hyper. I'm very hyperactive.
You are a very hyper young man.
If I walk in on a day and you see me just kind of docile, kind of just moping around, you can instantly tell, Kel, what's going on? There's something wrong. But if, like you said, it fades over time where it's like you don't notice the little nuances of somebody not caring or not putting as time or effort or energy. And like you said, I think it's an over time. So if you work in a group of community, so there's other people around you, sometimes it's not noticed because it's over a span of time.
Because but it happens over time.
I think a great question, you know, because like these first two symptoms we've talked about, your passion and then the feeling of the highs and the lows. Yeah. If somebody were to come to you and ask you like, why do you do what you do? That's when you should respond. If things are healthy, you respond with, I'm passionate because God's called me. And when in your passion, you get amped up and you get animated and you're this and that.
Yeah.
But if it's like, why do you do what you do? It's like, I don't, you know, I just, I'm here. And it, when you get in that maintenance mode, when you're just going from Sunday to Sunday, that's where I feel like the emotions can go out. And that's where the passion can begin to slowly fade. Because you're still doing the Lord's work every week in and week out. Yeah. But the ups and the downs and the excitement and all that stuff is.
I remember, you know, sitting at Starbucks and to get some coffee, and I ran into a volunteer, and that volunteer asked me, you know, how are you doing? And in the moment, I just didn't want to put a face on it. You know, I didn't want to give her the standard. I'm great, solid, wonderful, whatever. You know, I just didn't want to put a face on it. And so I start sharing a little bit of, well, you know, this is not great. Something I don't even remember what I said, but at one moment she looked at me and she said, but Gina, do you love what you do? And it stopped me in my tracks because I had to stop and think about that.
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know if I do anymore, you know? And it was eye-opening for me. That was a moment where I had to stop and go, okay, wait, I need to check something here.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that maybe needs to change.
No, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ryan, another thing, another symptom we talked about as far as on the road to burnout, we talked about how the little things make you disproportionately emotional.
Keyword disproportionally.
Disproportionately. That's a tongue twister. That is a tongue twister.
That's it. So all of a sudden, the little things become big and the big things become little. So little things become big. The pastor looks at you the wrong way and all of a sudden you've blown up. What's the deal?
Wow,
The big things become little. You realize you've got some holes that you need to fill. Yeah, but instead of giving time to filling those holes, you run to Costco or you do this or that, and you're neglecting these volunteer spots that need to be filled. You snap, you become just emotional, you are easily offended, people that are closest to you, what's up? Good sign that something's not right.
Good sign something there. It's almost like, I remember in my Kidmen days, one time I wanted this announcement made in the bulletin. And they're like, yep, we'll announce it. We'll put it in the bulletin. And I happened to be in big church that particular Sunday, and it wasn't in the bulletin. They forgot to announce it. You would think that's a small thing. But, man, I just went, like, how could you? Like, oh it was, gosh. Like, the deadly sin of doing that. But that was an example of, like, making a mountain out of a molehill. And it was just like, hey, man, that's my bad. I've got all these things going on, and I just forgot about it. And
Nothing personal.
Nope. But I like what you said, Ryan, as far as, like, you know, in the big things you have to deal with, when you have to confront a team member, or you have to have a hard conversation with a parent, or you have to confront a volunteer, or you have to remove, like, those big things that are going to require your mental energy and all sorts of stuff, it's like you said, I'm going to go to Costco. I'm going to go reorganize the closet. It doesn't need it. It does. Like, I'm just going to do it. Because that stuff is like, I'm being productive. I feel like I'm useful, and I'm staying away from the elephant in the room. You know,
it's the avoidance thing. Is there a practical step that a leader can do to explore or learn if they're doing that? If they are, in fact, you know, responding in a disproportionate way to something? Do you go to somebody and say, hey, you know, can you hold up a mirror for me and tell me, what do you see? Or do you, I mean, how would somebody discover where they are with that?
No, I don't know. You know, I don't know. What would you say?
I mean, my knee jerk is ask the people that are closest to you. Yeah. So, I mean, my wife is probably going to say something to me. What's going on? What's up? And am I willing to be honest and realize that in her asking me that, she's not attacking me. She genuinely cares about me and she wants to know what's up. So
that's good.
Lean in on the people closest to you. Listen to them.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think Jeff Henderson asked this question years ago, and he was like, kind of what you just said, Ryan. Find the people who are closest to you. It could be a spouse, could be, you know, your close circle, whatever it is, and ask them, what's it like to be on the other side of me? And I just thought that was a great question, because it's just like, you know, as a leader, what's it like to be on the other side of me? As a spouse, as a friend. And that's where I think those conversations will come up organically, to say, you tend to kind of, you know, overblow things, you know, here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't do
that's
that.
That's not me.
But what that sounded very hulkish.
I tried to channel my Mark Ruffalo. What if you're on the other end and you notice a coworker or another volunteer doing the disproportionate emotional? How do you approach that?
That's a great question.
That is that is super good.
That's
man.
A great one for Ryan.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Solve that one, Ryan.
That's right. I think it's got to be, I mean, it's got to be a crucial, crucial conversation. That's a crucial conversation. But it's really got to be built on the foundation of a relationship. And hopefully you've got a relationship with whoever this person is so that they'll listen. And then I don't know how to do it except for just talk about it in a spirit of love and I care about you. And would you tell me what's up?
Tell me what's
going on in your life. Think through and wordsmith it in such a way that they're not put in the defensive, but you genuinely care about them. Tell me what's going on in your life these days.
I think you nailed the beginning. I think that's what a lot of teams should invest into, and that's why we do these like retreats and these like team building is so that you have the equity to go and say, hey, Mike, just so you know, you're
totally
acting funky.
But it's like, you and I, like if I were to see you and you're acting out of sorts, or I see you like make a big deal out of a small thing, I'd be like, hey, man, I think it's the question you say, like, you okay? What do you mean? Well, that just seemed out of character for the who I know you to be. Like, you okay? I just want to make sure, like, you know, and that, and then you kind of see where that conversation goes.
That's good.
Okay. Fourth thing, as far as a symptom of burnout, we talked about your passion fades. You no longer feel the highs and lows. The little things make you disproportionately emotional, and then everybody drains you.
Yikes.
Hello.
So we all have those people that drain us, right? But when it turns into everybody,
right,
everybody.
Just so you know.
Who are those people for you, Mike?
Man, I think you're onto something.
We'll talk about it off air.
While we all have somebody that drains us, when it becomes
everybody's
draining me.
Oh, man. Gosh, that is a really good point.
It is one of those checks and balances that you're gonna have the drainy people over here. You're gonna have the people. Is that a word?
The drainy people.
The drainy people.
I like it.
The drainy. I just made it up. That was so improper. So, anyways, I broke all sorts of English rules there. But you didn't have the people who fuel you up, and you'll have that in your ministry. You'll have that in your life with your friends who maybe run inside your circle of, you know, in church, and then even in your family. But at a point when none of those people fuel you up, the problem isn't necessarily them. That's the sign that it's like something's up.
That's true. And I think it goes beyond just the church and the people we work with and things like that. Because you had mentioned at the top that we've known people that have dropped out of being a church leader, or marriages have split and or unfortunately lives end because of not being checked. And I think that everybody totally includes husbands and wives. And when you go home and if your kids are draining you in a way that it shouldn't, when you come home and see your kiddos or you see your spouse. I think that's a huge tell.
That's great.
So a ministry leader who's listening to this podcast right now, if they're wondering, based upon what we've already heard, if they're wondering, is this where I am? Then a good test might be to say, who are the people that normally energize me? And would I say they now drain me? Is that a good way to kind of practical way to assess that?
I think it is.
I think so. And I don't know what you look out, because like, you know, I'm an introvert. Like, I like alone time, but I also know that I can't be alone all the time, and I want to be around people who energize. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, people who energize me. Like, what would it be that was like, I just don't want to be around you anymore, because whatever you used to bring to the table to fuel me up no longer does that. That's nothing that you would ever do.
Those people would never, ever do.
So it's like, what changes inside of you?
What's shifting in us that would cause that? I don't even know. I can't. I'm trying to place myself there empathetically. I'm trying to imagine what that's like. I can't imagine. You know, but it's at the same time, that is a real practical way to look at it.
Totally.
I love
and that's when the red light should go off to say that's a warning, to be like, that's a serious sign of you're headed down the road of burnout.
And like you said, Gina, I can't imagine what it's like to be there. And none of us want to be there.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so hugely important that we are proactive in, I know we're going to get to the practicals, but taking care of ourselves spiritually and putting those things in our life and the right people in our life.
No, that's great. Okay, last thing we would say as far as the symptoms to look out for is you're becoming cynical.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. But that's just my personality.
That's God wired me.
And I think we all have a little bit of cynical.
Cynicism. Yeah.
And just because you're cynical doesn't mean that you're burnt out. But I think the more cynical I am, it's a good sign that things aren't going well. Yeah, it's an indicator.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the symptoms, okay, the five things we just went through. Mm-hmm. And there are more that Carey unpacks in one of his chapters and Didn't See It Coming Again. We would highly encourage every leader out there to pick up a copy
Fantastic
of that book.
Yeah.
Great read. But you may say, of the five things that we touched on, one of those things may say like, yep, that's me right there.
Yeah.
And if one to two of those things, like you're like, yep, I circle those. That's the season I'm in right now. I don't think we would necessarily say you are burnt out.
Right.
But just consider them as warning signs. Just
something. Be aware.
Be aware of it. Self-awareness.
Address those issues.
Address those issues head on to do that.
Yep.
But if three to four, maybe even three of those things, like you're like, yep, that's me, you might be on the road to like a slow burnout. It's kind of, again, it's that slow fade over time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most dangerous one, right? As opposed to just like heading straight into it.
It's
just
so
like
subtle.
You don't realize what's going on around you till, I don't want to say it's too late, but it's just like you're like, oh my gosh, how did we get here?
Yeah.
But if all four or five of those do that, in our breakout, Ryan, we had one leader come up to me afterwards and we talked about 10 symptoms and she said, I'm all 10.
What
do I do now? And it broke my
tears
heart.
Tears in her eyes.
Yeah, the tears started welling up and it was a toxic environment. She had no one to talk to and she's where do I start? And I just, my heart broke.
Yeah.
And there may be people listening to this podcast who feel that same thing. So I want to kind of shift it from saying, here are the things you need to be aware of. Now, as we are proactive in this, what are some things that we can begin to do to walk out of burnout? Because you can walk out of it. You may feel stuck in it. You may feel like you're trapped in it right now, but you can be free of this to do that. So one of the things, and again, there's a lot of these things more in Carey's, but we're going to address just a few of them right now. But the first one is, I think, the biggest one, and that is to tell someone. Why is that important, Ryan?
Well, why is it? I think by default, when you start burning out, it's like you just isolate and you be by yourself. You just want to be by yourself.
Yeah.
Worst thing you can do, right? And so you need to find someone to talk to.
Yep.
You need to find someone to talk to. And don't overthink it. Well, does it have to be somebody in my church, outside of my church, a professional, a practitioner? Who do I talk to? Really, I don't care who you talk to. Just start talking to some people
that
can help you and get you going the right path, because this is such a huge, huge thing.
Is it better if you have these situations you're dealing with inside the walls of your church? Is it better to find someone outside the walls of your church? Because finding the right person, if it's a key volunteer or someone in leadership, to truly be authentic to how you're feeling and opening up to the things you want to say, I almost feel like, and this may be me, but I would feel like anybody inside the church, no matter who they are, how much influence they have, I would still feel guarded, and I couldn't really let it down to do that.
Yeah.
So then
because you have to be able to still lead on the other side of that that confession, if that's the right term. You know, you need to set yourself up to be able to continue to lead. So it could be that, I mean, my solution personally, if I were, you know, in that situation, I would look for somebody that I could trust outside of the context in which I lead, outside of my church.
Yeah, I think that's ideal.
Yeah. And I think I know sometimes you can get bogged down like, well, do I need to talk to somebody that can empathize with me opposed to just sympathizing?
Yep,
and I think, Ryan, you had the exact phrase, tell somebody. Mm-hmm. Tell someone that can just listen, because we've all, in any walk of life, any profession, any whatever you do, you know, burnout is very, very much real. So, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're like, well, I need to find someone, you know, equally yoked. No, you need someone with two ears.
Right.
And a warm heart that's willing to, you know, hear you express. I think the biggest thing is just expressing it.
Yeah.
If you don't express it,
it billows,
and then you explode, and then, you know, who knows what happens.
But when you admit it to others, you are also admitting it to yourself.
It's so true.
Well.
Yeah.
So I think that's huge. And I think, you know, again, this is where we talked about at the beginning, pride and fear. Pride will swell up It's so easy to tell you, go tell someone about your junk. That's going on with the issues you're dealing with. But pride will swell up and say, no, you've got this. You can handle this. And then fear creeps in. And then again, it says, if you tell somebody, then they're going to change their perspective on you as a ministry leader to do that. But fighting through burnout, fighting through depression, fighting through this, one of the first and best steps you can do is to experience the freedom of telling someone and walking through it with someone and not walking in isolation.
If you don't have community, I encourage you to get community.
Find
someone in the church world, online. I know we have a Facebook group. Like, find someone out there, because there's tons of us doing this ministry together. So find someone,
Yeah, the thing that I appreciate what you said, Ryan, is just how it's isolating. You know, burnout is isolating, and we tend to think, and we say to ourselves, nobody else feels this way, nobody else is suffering this way, like we're the only ones that deal with this, and so which just feeds that narrative of isolation. And I remember, and we don't make good decisions when we're in that space, right? We don't tend to make wise decisions in that space, and that tends to be when we make a choice maybe that has greater ripple effects.
A lot of regret that you're just like, I can't believe I did that.
So I remember talking to a ministry leader one time who had actually walked through, had made some poor decisions in burnout, had to really walk out the ramifications of those decisions. It was a long road and a difficult road. And I remember asking him one day, what made you say something? Because that's what he did. He told somebody, right? What made you say something? And he said, when somebody finally told me that when you leave something in the dark, you leave the enemy so much room to play, right? But when you bring it into the light, when you just expose it into the light, then the enemy no longer has the power and the strength over that situation that he had in the past. And so just confessing it, just saying it, just sharing it, right?
That's good.
It releases some of the power of it. And I love what you said about how when you're telling somebody, you're telling yourself as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so just that one step alone, if somebody who's feeling burnout on the other side of this podcast, that one step will hold so much power to moving towards healing.
And I think a way to deal with burnout is telling someone, getting the right people in your life.
Yep.
A way to avoid burnout is make sure you have the right people in your life.
That's good. Yeah, you're right.
Because so many pastors, I mean, pastors are so popular, but they're so lonely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they lead, and everybody knows who they are, and everybody follows them on Facebook. Yet they go home every night, wake up every morning so lonely.
Yep. Yeah.
And so who is in my life? I mean, am I inviting people into my life? Do I have friends? Do I have people I can be real with? People that I can be vulnerable with?
Yep.
Such a necessity. I think when we're lonely, we find ourselves very vulnerable.
Totally agree.
You know, it's interesting because this is where my cynicism can creep up every once in a while. So I'll be really transparent because we're all friends.
Yep.
It's a safe place, right?
It is.
So I am very guilty of thinking at times, people want to be known by me, but they don't want to know me. Right? And I've said that before. Nah, people they want to get together for coffee. Why do they want to get together for coffee? Because they want to know you. No, they don't. They want to be known by me. They want me to hear their story. They want me to ask questions about them. And that's the role I play in their life, but they don't want to know me. And that's a cynical narrative that I can roll around in my head, and I can convince myself that people really don't want to know me. And therefore, even though I have all these people around me, I've created this distance between them emotionally because I tell myself they don't really want to know me. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Is that why you said no to coffee this morning?
I'm so sorry, Ryan. I apologize. But I would love to hear your life story.
That's right.
We'll bring it on.
All right. So tell someone is the first, the greatest, the best step that you can do to start this road to recovery. The second step that we would say is keep leaning into God. Now, when you hear that, you might say, time out for a second.
Sounds obvious.
Okay, if God, you would say, if God is real and God is who he says he is, then God should be first in every single thing. So number one should be leaning to God. Then number two should be tell someone. Mm. But theologically, that's correct. But when you're walking through depression, okay, and we talked about this numbness earlier, when you are numb to feelings and you are numb to the people around you, you begin to process your reality based upon how you feel.
Yeah.
And if you feel nothing, then you may feel like, well, God is not here for me. And God has abandoned me because I don't feel God anymore, right? So that's a challenge to that. But that's what we would say, again, lean into God. Because even though you may not feel him, it doesn't mean that God's not there. God is there. You just need to be obedient to him and even if you're not feeling the emotions of the moment, you know, your emotions will eventually catch up to your obedience to do that.
Oh, that's so good.
And then the second part of that is that if you're a super Christian out there, okay, and you're like, you know, Kellen, that's you, right? So
no,
it's
no.
like,
oh, no.
But there are people who say, like, I have my baggage and I have my issues, and God and me, we're going to get in the prayer closet,
it's just
and
us.
We're going to work this out, and it's fine. We're going to, I mean, I know I can't do it. I need God's strength.
Yeah.
You know, but again, sometimes the most powerful expression of God's love in your life may be through the love of other people in your life who know God, right? To do that. So that's why we say, when you're walking through this, you need to lean into God as much as you can, even when you're not feeling it. Now, let's talk about some practical. What does that mean practically for a kidmen leader to do that? What would you say to that, Ryan?
I think one of the best ways to lean in on God is, of course, stay in His Word, stay in prayer. But here's a big one. Be good with who God has created you to be and be confident in that.
Yep.
I feel like I get more and more emails, read more and more Facebook posts from kidmen leaders that I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't think I can do this. And they may not say they don't have the confidence, but what they are saying is they don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
And the good news is that God has created you, uniquely you. He has gifted you with a special community, a special church, special people that need you. And He's put inside of you His Holy Spirit. And that is an incredible, incredible gift. The song that gets a lot of radio play at church and on the radio, I am who you say I am. Now, I'm forgiven, I'm this and that. I am who you say I am. I desperately want that, Mike, for each of these people that are listening to the podcast. Yep. I want that for you, Mike, and your wife and your kids, each of you. For me, hey, I want to be good with who I am, and I want to plug my ears to the voices of negativity that comes from outside, the voice of negativity that come from within. You can't do this. You don't have what it takes. You're not as good looking as this person. Your ministry is not like this ministry. And lean in on the Lord.
Yep.
I think that's part of it. Recognize who I am in Christ be good with that.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I fail, it's not really if I fail, it's when I
when
fail because
fail.
We're going to fail, right? I'm going to be good with that. And I'm going
to
pick up, I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, that's great.
That's so good. Literally, this morning, I was just joking. I was in a room, and someone came in, and they're like, Kellen, you're awesome. I'm like, oh, I know. I'm, like, super awesome. And we all laughed, but then I was like, no, but seriously, people need to start thinking that. Like, God looks at us and says, you're incredible.
You're right.
Awesome. That's why I've asked you to do the thing that you're currently doing.
Yep.
And there is a thing of humbleness where it's like, I am great. Thank you. Thank you, God. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But there. I think some of us, when we're in these funks, we need to lean into, you're capable.
Yeah.
You're loved. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. Your value is through the roof. You can do it. And I when you start talking about value,
I think that's huge. And I think that's huge. But one way you build that in your life is your time with God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you will have, hopefully, your personal time, but as kidmen leaders, this reminds me of Shannon Scott way back on our first episode, talked about one of the best things you can do as we talk about this idea of leaning into God is get yourself into a service.
That's huge.
Into your church. And I know there are 100 reasons why you shouldn't be, because
leaders didn't show up.
All the things.
Need more goldfish. I'm tired.
This is
my eighth service.
But
no doubt.
There is something about being a part of the life of your church, not I'll listen to somebody on a podcast later in the week, which is fine to add to that, but it shouldn't be your primary source
count, you guys.
Of leaning into God.
Yeah,
and so I think
it's
getting into a service, and then I think it's just how do you lean into God? Like for some, it might be, you know, you mentioned the worship song. It might be that song that reminds you of that fundamental truth that of who you are in God. But for some, like, may not be in the music and be like, I hate singing time. I don't like to go in there. But it might be, you know, journaling. It might be taking a walk in nature. It might be I don't know what it is, but you've got to.
You know, I think there are other resources out there that. Well, I think about a series that Craig Groeschel did at Life Church a year ago about statements of declaration, basically declarations of truth. There's scripture that define this is who God says I am, right?
Yep.
And the thing that resonates so much with me, because if there's one thing that's ministry has taught me, is what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
You know, I learn every day in ministry what I'm not good at.
Yep.
And very rarely am I reminded of what I'm good at. And so that's almost an active thing that I have to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Is I have to remind myself of who God says I am. Well, the best way to do that is to find it in his word.
No, that's good. Okay, so let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
As far as moving out of this, so there's telling someone, there's leaning into God, and then rest. Okay?
My favorite word.
My favorite one. Yes. So sleep is like money, and deficits of sleep become debt, and that debt needs to be paid back. And you may not know this for even, no matter what that's type good. Of personality you are, or whatever the tests are, like, you know, like even the most type A personalities, everybody is designed to where you're going to spend about a third of your life sleeping.
Yeah. Sleep.
And then on top of that, you're going to spend another 1/7 of that resting, if you follow as far as allowing your day to rest, like I did to do that. So this sleep and taking care of that and guarding that time is super important. And again, it sounds like an obvious statement of like, get to church, lean into God, tell someone, go to bed, right?
Go to bed.
I tell my kids that all the time. Go to bed. Say your prayers. Tell your mom you love her. All right. Good night. So, but it's important, right? I mean, even scientifically, Ryan, sleep and what it does for the brain, right?
Did you know your brain shrinks through the day?
I did not.
No,
scientific
what?
Fact. Somebody just sent me an article on it.
So suddenly much. It makes so much sense, those conversations
your brain
with how
literally, this company studied like 10,000 MRIs.
Wow.
And your brain shrinks through the day.
Wow.
And it moves back to its normal size at night. Explains a lot, doesn't it?
Wow. Yes.
You need your sleep.
But you there do you need go. Your sleep.
You need your sleep. Yeah. How many hours of sleep a night do you need, Ryan?
Eight.
Eight, Gina.
For real, at least eight.
At least eight.
Kellen.
Yes, 7.5 to be functional.
Yes.
10, because I just like sleeping.
Solid 8, I can function on 7. I'm a jerk at 6. So
You're a jerk at 6.
It's not.
The people that can do 3 or 4 hours, doesn't that make you sick?
I don't get it.
Think what all you could do if you only had to sleep 3 or 4 hours a day.
It amazes me. I have a friend that sleeps 4 hours a night. This man has so many ideas, and he can't.
I bet.
Can't
do it.
It's crazy. So I don't know. I can't. His brain's not. He's got to be shrinking
somehow. So, Carey said in his book, see if you guys agree with this or not, someone once said that 70% of discipleship is a good night's sleep.
Quit it. I am well discipled.
Yes.
Wow. 70% yes. good night's
I think I'm over discipled.
You're over discipled. I am a follower of Jesus. Yes, I am. All right. So, rest is important. Make sure you guard your sleep. And even if you need to embrace naps, take some naps throughout the day to re-energize you. As I'm getting older, I'm embracing
That's
the
so
naps.
True.
I'm loving the naps, okay? All right, final thing we would say, and again, there's so much more, so we encourage you to check out Carey's book, but the last thing we'll end on this is that find something to take your attention away from your pain. Yeah. So if you are controlling the pace of your ministry, if you are resting, what you don't want to do is to find yourself in a place of rest where all you're doing is thinking about the pain and thinking about the issues, because you're working through it with someone else in your life, a professional counselor, whoever else it may be, but you don't want to think about it 24/7 and it be all that consumes your heart and your mind and your soul. You want to find something that distracts you from that. So that could be, you know, that could be taking up a hobby. That could be going to the movies. That could be going on a hike or whatever it be. What are some things practically that you guys do that kind of help you check out of ministry mindset when the stress is on and Sunday's coming and you're like, I just need to kind of pull off to the side and do something that's going to do that? What is that for you,
Kellen? One thing I actually love encourage people. I love podcasts like this one.
Yep.
But for me to relax, I love listening to comedy podcasts.
Okay.
I love listening to just anything that doesn't teach me about leadership.
Yep.
Because I get that all the time. Yep. Yeah. I want to just make me laugh, make me think, put a crime thing on, do something. I mean, I like to run. So running and then there's the podcasting.
So when you're running, listening to
a podcast.
I listen
to podcasts. Exactly. I'm just laughing and I'm having a good time.
That's
great. You know, doing my thing. So
Gina?
Smoking.
Okay. You guys can't see this, but she said that so deadpan. No,
she did.
For a second, I believed her.
For a second, I was like,
smoking
what? She smoked?
Okay.
Smoking what?
Yep.
Wow. We got no.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
You can't see her, but she had a dead straight face.
It was incredible.
It was legit.
Hook, line, and sinker over here. I was just like, I wanted to respond with like, well, great.
Boom, boom.
That's right.
All right. Can you add some?
We got a smoker. We got a green egg, and so that is. It's actually not a green egg. It's a knockoff.
It's a knockoff, but that's fine.
You know, but we got a smoker.
That was
and it is glorious. Wow. We spend a day.
I'm stealing that, by the way.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Light it up,
it's
man.
My favorite.
Light it up to relax.
We get lit every Saturday. It's awesome.
Wow.
She's
got another one. She is on a roll.
She just dabbed everyone. She dabbed. Wow. You can't see her.
She's on fire. All right, Ryan, so you follow that up. What are some things that you do to take your mind off of?
A little more boring. I like to take walks.
Yep.
Love it.
Drive time in the car is good for me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yes.
solid.
Yeah.
That's no solid. Radio, no just, podcast, just drive.
Window down, summer nights.
Yeah, just drive.
Love it. That's good. I build Legos.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
I love Star Wars. I love Legos. I build them with my son. Started
that
years
Falcon
ago.
Yet?
So good.
And what started with the thing with my son is like he's into them, but not as into them. Yeah. And I'm still way more into them than I should be.
Should.
It's too funny.
But it helps me to be like, I don't need to think. I have directions. Yeah. I get to create without over. And it's
just
a way
that
to
mindless. Yep. Just doing something.
Yeah. Yep. So
he's good at that mindless stuff.
I am. I got a lot of Lego sets. So there you go. All right. So we're gonna wrap this up. And again, there's so much more we could talk about, and we'll maybe do this on another episode because there's so much more to unpack with this. But again, as you're walking through this and you recognize the symptoms and some of the things that we've talked about here practically to help you walk out of burnout, the biggest thing is to, like, you know, when you've been hurt, mm-hmm. and we've all been hurt in life, we've been hurt in ministry, especially in ministry, gosh, the stories we could tell, you close yourself off. You can close your heart off to people. And that is a way that is a recipe for disaster. Living in isolation, living in a way where you're not entrusting the people around you and opening up your heart again, it's risky. Because when you open up your heart again, you risk being hurt by people around you. But here's the thing. The people in your life, again, going back to who do you surround yourself with the most, people are trustworthy. There are trustworthy people out there. And beyond all that, our God is trustworthy, right? And he works with us not in our perfections. He works with us in our brokenness. Because in your brokenness, it's like that's when you declare bankruptcy and poverty on what's on the inside. You realize that it's not me, that I have to search for something that is beyond me. I have to search for a strength that is beyond me. And that's when we're finally able to release and let go and lean into God as hard as possible in our brokenness. And God, you. So when you're listening to this podcast, wherever you find yourself on the spectrum of burnout, we just want you to know you're not alone. We are here for you. We are cheering for you. We're praying for you. But if there's one thing I would say to take away from this podcast, it is to find someone and tell someone what you are going through. Do not do this alone. And may that's your action step. That's your thing you need to do this week. So this has been good. Ryan, thank you for joining
us,
man.
And you guys are awesome.
It's been good stuff.
Let's do this again sometime.
We will definitely do that. So, hey, thanks so much for hanging out and listening to the Orange Kid podcast. And we would encourage you to stop by, check us out on however you listen to us on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify. And however you listen to us, if you like what you hear and you want to hear more, make sure you leave us a review. It really does help us. And make sure you check out our new site, orangekidmen.com, where you can find not only our podcast, but also some free resources for you, our blog, and all sorts of other things. So make sure you check that out, okay? Thanks again for hanging out with us. And Kellen, take us out with a special ditty.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, keep loving it. This has been the Orange Kid Men podcast.
That was special. There you go.